Support for NPR and the following message come from our sponsor, Whole Foods Market. Having a party? Whatever you're celebrating, Whole Foods Market has everything you need for a spectacular event. Premium meats, prepared foods, desserts, and more. Start every celebration at Whole Foods Market.
The British singer Dua Lipa has become one of the world's biggest pop stars, with a string of radio hits that have each been streamed billions of times. Now she's back with a new set of summertime bangers titled Radical Optimism. I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we are talking about Dua Lipa's new album on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from our sponsor, Whole Foods Market. Planning a party or honoring a recent grad? Whatever the celebration, Whole Foods Market can make things easy, starting with some delicious marinated steaks, always antibiotic and hormone-free. Simple and easy eats are ready in the prepared foods department. And for dessert, how about a luscious berry chantilly cake? Not in the mood to cook? Their catering menu offers festive options ready to order online at shop.wfm.com. Start every celebration at Whole Foods Market. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Third Love. Third Love makes solutions for every bra problem. Give yourself more lift, smoothing, and get straps that stay put. Every style's wear-tested on real women, made from premium materials, with a virtual fitting room to help you find your perfect fit. Comfort and support are guaranteed. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. This message comes from NPR sponsor CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car, you should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. Don't settle. Find love at first drive. Start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. This message comes from NPR sponsor eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Finding someone who gets you on dating apps is hard. That's why eHarmony is different. eHarmony is designed to help you bring out your personality on your profile so you make more genuine connections. Take their compatibility quiz to get started and see for yourself. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Joining me today is Switched On Pop producer Rihanna Cruz. Hey, Rihanna.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Also with us is culture writer and critic Shamira Ibrahim. Hey, Shamira.
Hey, Stephen. Thank you for having me back again.
It is a joy to have you both here. So Dua Lipa has had a string of massive hits over the last 7 years, including New Rules, Don't Start Now, and Levitating. Her current blockbuster is Houdini. It's the lead single from Dua Lipa's new album, Radical Optimism, which is a sort of concept record about moving through life with a more mature and constructive attitude. But it's also a pretty straightforward collection of hyper-catchy bangers. And heads up, one of those bangers you'll hear today has a curse word in it. We have much to discuss, but I want to go around the table and get a general sense of what y'all think. Rihanna, I'm going to start with you. Where do you stand on Radical Optimism?
So, as a concept, love it. I enjoy Dua Lipa writ large, and I really like the singles from this record, all three of them, Houdini, Training Season, and Illusion, with the last one, Illusion, getting massive replay from me. I was stoked to check out the full record, and I left feeling kind of disappointed, kind of not, just like very mid on it. None of the songs outside the singles really landed for me. And even then, the singles felt dulled in the larger context of the record.
Interesting.
The whole record is pleasant to me, you know, like I really have no issues with it. I find it very similar to Lorde's Solar Power, where I was like, good for her.
Not good for her.
But like, happy she's happy, you know, like, that's what it really comes down to. But I just wish there was more to it, especially as the follow-up to Future Nostalgia.
Sure. Future Nostalgia, kind of a more like lavish, disco-fied production. This is a little scaled back, would you say, in comparison?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pared back in a lot of ways. I think it's pared back in songwriting. I think it's pared back outside of the singles in the production, most of the record is like very, it's very chill. It's a chiller. It's to lay by the pool in Ibiza. That's it.
That sounds like a terrible thing to have to do.
I'd say so.
How about you, Shamira?
I have very similar thoughts. I'm a big fan of Dua Lipa, the artist, the brand, the constantly vacationing icon. and I was really a huge fan of Future Nostalgia when it came out and the follow-up Club Future Nostalgia. I think for me, where I land on this is that when Future Nostalgia came out, it was such a moment in time. It was 2020, big disco vibes. Everything felt so fresh about it. People were just kind of wading into this new disco revival, right? Now it kind of feels like it's 4 years later. A lot of artists have done their own iteration of the disco soundscape, of bringing back that 80s trend into the modern era. And so now it feels like she's there kind of lagging in the background as a result, right? It doesn't feel as innovative. It doesn't feel as fresh. The songwriting doesn't feel as compelling. The singles are still singles, and there are a couple of album cuts that really stand out to me, which I'm sure we'll get into. But it kind of feels like disco is falling into yacht rock, which is not necessarily the space I'm looking for, right?
Yeah, well, and it's interesting that you mentioned yacht rock. One of her collaborators on this record is Kevin Parker from Tame Impala, who has really like made a very, very successful career out of smooth pop sounds that kind of brush up against yacht rock.
Right, that's totally there. And I think part of my fatigue is I came up on, you know, Robin S. I came up on all the big disco divas, the Donna Summers, right? Let's have the booming divas with the big vocals over the actual instrumentals, right? Let's do something compelling and that will keep you on the floor for a couple of hours, right? Right now, it kind of feels like the pregame before the club, not the club exactly, right?
Or post-club, okay. You know, the chill out afters. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting because I, at first, had a somewhat similar reaction to both yours, where I thought, like, this is a solid collection of, like, mid-bangers.
Right.
But a couple of outside factors played into my ultimate appreciation of this record. One is that Beyoncé released a treatise called Cowboy Carter, which is, like, 78, 79 minutes long. And then a few weeks later, Taylor Swift released The Tortured Poets Department, which is 2 hours and 2 minutes long. This record is 11 songs in 36 minutes, and they're suitable for roller skating. they are summery, or lying by the pool in Ibiza, as Rihanna said. And for somebody who has felt pop music's bloat in recent months, I really appreciated the hyper-efficiency of this record. And the other thing for me with this album, you mentioned liking the singles, but not necessarily hooking into the album tracks. To me, where this record finally locked in for me was in the last two songs. Let's hear a little bit first of the track Maria. This is the penultimate song on the record. I know you're somewhere in his heart. So first of all, you can imagine that like getting stuck in your head for days, as it has for me. That song is followed by a song called Happy For You. Thematically, take these songs back to back and think about what she's doing on this record. Maria is a song sung to her partner's ex, and it is thanking her for her contributions to his life. You made him better. And that could easily be a passive-aggressive message, like, thanks for the guy, loser. But it's not at all. It's very gracious, very mature, very thoughtful approach to relationships that I really, really appreciated. And to follow that song immediately with Happy For You, which is to an ex, basically saying, like, I genuinely revel in your happiness, even though it's without me. one thing I experienced listening to this record the first time or two was like, I'm not necessarily sure I'm getting radical optimism from this record until you get to those last two songs. This is the kind of grown-up, non-grievance-based approach to love that I can really, really get behind in pop songwriting, and that right now I found myself really craving. I think she's getting at something here, and for me, this album felt mid at first, but grew into something I really appreciated.
I'm excited for it to grow on me, hypothetically, where like, I think the songs, like, despite not hitting, you know, like something like French Exit, you know, I thought about apropos of nothing, right? Like, I was just like chilling and I was like, oh, like, I like that song. And I feel like I'm going to have that reaction with a lot more of the record. What my issue with this mature songwriting is that I don't think it necessarily lends itself to hit potential. Another album, and I hate to make this comparison, but like it was giving Katy Perry's Witness to me at times.
Oh no, not the Katy Perryfication of Dua Lipa.
Okay, but let me clarify. I love Witness. It's my favorite Katy Perry album. But the concept behind Witness is that Katy Perry is doing like conscious pop. You know, where she's attacking pop from a mature standpoint and making these statements about herself and the world around her. And I compared it to Solar Power because I felt the same about Solar Power. These mature records, and I'm sure this was important for Dua Lipa to make, I just have been left wanting that sort of boom, you know, right out of the gate bangers that we had with something like Future Nostalgia.
This is where we should back up, though, and point out Houdini has been played on the radio 800 trillion times. Like, it is one of the most, I mean, I don't want to say overplayed because I like it, but like, to me, like, I listen to the radio in the car a lot, and nowadays when you flip the radio dial, it's just hitting different parts of Houdini.
I love Houdini. Like, Houdini in my circles has gone multi-platinum.
Yeah, and Training Season is also a big catchy song. She is one of the most reliable hit makers we have right now.
Yeah.
And I would also push back in terms of like, there are no other hits. Like, there's a song on this record called These Walls. Mm. My ears perked up of like, oh, I better get used to this song. First of all, that's about as lyrically hard-hitting as this record gets. This is, it's like a pre-breakup song, but it's still pretty like, maybe we should break up? But that song, to me, that's a banger.
Yeah, I like it.
the reluctance.
I mean, no, I like it. It just, I don't think it does anything for me. Like, I don't think I'm going to like sit down and be like, man, like, let me play that Dua Lipa track I like. Mm. That's not Illusion, Houdini, or Training Season.
Okay, but you did just name three songs. There aren't that many pop records that have three big bangers on them.
So true. You got me.
I do want to get to everyone's sense of Dua Lipa's place in the pop music landscape, because I think she's really interestingly positioned compared to a lot of other artists. We've talked about how like she's putting out shorter, kind of more singles-oriented projects and not these like massive opuses. You know, she's the subject of a very funny meme that I quote all the time about kind of low effort live performances where the person wrote, "Go girl, give us nothing."
Right.
Where if you've ever seen Dua Lipa perform, like she has this very laconic, not exactly movement forward approach to live performance. And yet, like, she has the most viewed Tiny Desk concert in history with 124 wow. million views. So clearly, like, wow. live performance wise, people are still into her. She contains multitudes, right? Like, an extraordinary amount of effort goes into crafting her songs. And yet, she also feels like less try hard. And like, there's a certain hanging back that she does. Mm. It feels like she doesn't need to be the main character in our lives. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. For me, like, she is filling a very, very useful role in pop music right now.
Yeah. You know, I think Dua Lipa, as you pointed out, contains multitudes, right? I think one of the things that's best about her is that she's receptive to feedback, right? Mm. Which can be, you know, a gift and a curse, right? Mm. You know, where fans can sometimes dictate what their own wants and not think about the greater spectrum of everything else, yep. right? But to your point about the go girl, give us nothing, you know, Dua Lipa was known around the time of her debut album, the self-titled project, to be giving, like, I like to call them figurine poses from one mark to the next, right? You know, mm-hmm. like very model-esque, very, I'm here, I look pretty, the pop music is what gives me my identity. And she actually recently did an interview, I want to say it's for The Guardian, that kind of spoke on that and how it did hurt her feelings to see those remarks from her fans, right? But it also did give her the impetus to continue to push and grow and do more so that by the time of Future Nostalgia, no one is comparing her by any means to Beyonce on performance level.
Right.
But you saw the increased production effort. You saw her committing to do more choreography, selling the image of the disco queen that comes with the album that you put out, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that allows her to be resilient through the bumps and grooves of pop fandom, which could be very mercurial, right? You know, one day everyone is loving you for the single you dropped or the meme you put out or whatever random quip you may have put out. The next, everyone is thirsty for the next output. And so while I may not be as bullish on this project specifically, I think I'm constantly optimistic for the way that she maintains her relevance in the pop culture and pop music discussion. It's a very saturated field where you have a handful of artists that are taking up the lion's share of the market, and she continues to make herself relevant in the trends that really generate some of the most interesting pop music that's out today. Like, to your point, I'm really a big fan of the two-song pairing Illusion into Falling Forever, where she's singing about, you know, being in a relationship that's a little cagey, and the next song falls into talking about the honeymoon phase of a partnership and a courtship and whether or not you would actually be interested in pursuing that romantic, you know, level of interest. And I think that the way that she has done some of the pairings on these songs shows that she's willing to be a little bit more experimental with the duality of different emotional feelings, especially when it comes to romance.
Here's my thing with Dua Lipa. I feel like in the pop landscape, she is kind of chameleonic because she doesn't necessarily have her own identity. It's just the sounds that she's doing, where she was doing this kind of electronic pop thing on the self-titled project. Future Nostalgia was disco revival. This record feels very like 90s, 2000s, radio light, you know, whatever Sunshine thinks she's doing. I do, to your point, think that works for her because she doesn't necessarily, in my opinion, have the outsized personality of a pop star.
Right.
You know, like I watch interviews with her and she's very down to earth. She's very game for whatever. And I think that's the type of pop star that, like you said, lends itself to return investments. You know, like, we're going to be seeing Dua Lipa probably in like 10, 15 years, and she's still going to be putting out hits,
right.
You know? And I think that's something that I really appreciate in this pop landscape where we have a lot of artists that do one or two songs, you know, and then you don't hear from them, or they're big on TikTok and that's it. Dua Lipa can still headline festivals, I think, even when an album like this comes out and it's not necessarily hit potential.
One of my first critical thoughts listening to this record was, I do wish she were a more distinct personality. Yeah. When I think of records that I have really loved in this genre in recent years, I think about an album called Dirt Femme by Tove Lo, the Swedish pop singer, which is kind of trafficking in some of these things, but it's very distinctly written and it has a real point of view. I think about like The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess by Chappell Roan, where like Chappell Roan is like all persona, but also incredible vocal talent. I would have loved it if this record conveyed a little bit more of who she is. There is a guarded quality to her persona, but at the same time, I think she has a lane, and I think this record is squarely in that lane. And I don't know, for me, it just came out at just the right time. Yeah. It's the beginning of the summer. We're all repositioning ourselves to hopefully enjoy some leisure.
Yeah, right.
And like an album of like very grievance averse music was just what I was looking for right now.
What do you think about the lack of distinct identity, right? I do think that there's something curious that comes out of that, right? So I may be stricken now for mentioning this, right? But, you know, obviously we went and we experienced Taylor Swift and Torture Poets Department, right? You have all of the songs. And one of the things that makes Taylor such a ubiquitous force is that she has now created like this universe of lore, right? You know, she's self-referential so that the ballads and the pop records, you're not just exploring it for musicality, but also if you're a fan and have been in that universe for a long time, you're also almost experiencing it like a quest, right? You know, how do you piece together what's happening here?
Right.
Who is she referring to here? What is the symbology of Taylor Swift ultimately, right? Because Dua's pop persona as a celebrity isn't as forward in her personal life. Like, you might know some things, like she dated Anwar Hadid or whatever, but when she's doing songs that, if you take a second to listen, are still contending with heartbreak and love and dealing with crappy men and how to move on and how to deal with deception, all themes that are uniform in a Taylor Swift album. But because she's not as distinct about her brand identity, it doesn't compel you to do the same level of interrogation.
Right.
Not saying that that's a good or bad thing, it's just a distinct thing, right? So these are records that are about going to the club after you got, you know, you finished crying because a man texted you, right? You know, or they're records about, you know, oh my God, I'm having that summer crush. Let's see if it lasts more than 3 weeks. And it evokes that feeling, but it doesn't give you that distinct personal tie where you would say, oh, who do you think she's talking about? Let me scroll through her Instagram posts and kind of put all the puzzle pieces together. It lends less of an urgency to wanting to listen to her music, considering the current climate of how people view music as puzzle pieces to fit together.
Yeah, and I think that's smart. And I think it's smart that she situated her release date the way that she did. There's a gap in like upbeat pop records that we can consume lightly, you know, in a convertible on the way to the beach.
Yeah.
Like that is what this record is designed for. And I respect her for situating it right in the beginning of May as she did.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, I know y'all are mid. I'm here for it.
Come back to me in a month or two. I may have a completely different opinion.
Nice.
Literally, hit me back in like August after the summer's done, and I'll be like, man, I heard that Dua Lipa record everywhere.
Be like, what would I have done without that Dua Lipa record?
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, we want to know what you think about Dua Lipa's Radical Optimism. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Rihanna Cruz, Shamira Ibrahim, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Stephen. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Liz Metzger and Hafsa Fathima and edited by Mike Katzeff. Our supervising producer is Jessica Reedy, and Hello Kamin provides our theme music. Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Delta Airlines. When you think about it, half the trips the world takes are trips home. Home, what we all eventually long to get back to, no matter what took us away to begin with. Those at Delta know that. because all 100,000 of them are, above all, travelers just like you. It's why they try to make you feel at home long before you even get there.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.